Aren't you glad to feel the presence of the Lord tonight? Praise God. I want you to turn to two places in Scripture. And Acts 16 and 2 Corinthians. Acts 16 and 2 Corinthians. I'm so glad for each that is here tonight. But sometimes when a minister has a message like I have this evening, a message for the moment, there are those that others you wish had have been here because you just feel like it could have helped them. I know that God wants to move in our midst tonight, and he wants us to leave here helped folks. Amen. I'm getting quite a collection. Some time back, I used an illustration about Dr. Pepper, and now I got a bottle of Dr. Pepper in my office, and then I gave an illustration about Three Musketeer Bar, and I got a Three Musketeer Bar in my office. Andrew said, why don't you eat it? And I said, I just like to remember about that. And then I'd said I was going to, but I had already given an illustration about a steak dinner. And somebody in my office, they put gift cards for a steak dinner. And so sometime soon I'll be using an illustration about a brand new car. I don't know how you're going to get that in my office, but we'll see what we can do. Acts chapter 16 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? I'm going to interrupt this story. It's a familiar story in the book of Acts. It's when Paul, in the name of Jesus, had just delivered a young girl tormented by spirits of divination, fortune-telling. He delivered her in the name of Jesus, and the crowd didn't like it because her owners stirred them up. He had taken away their livelihood. Verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. I want you to look at the last part there. They commanded to beat them. They were beaten. Verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang not a funeral dirge, but they sang praises unto God. And I always wondered about this. And the prisoners heard them. I mean, there was something about their singing. It didn't quite fit their environment. I'm not just talking about evil men. I'm talking about the condition they were in. It was incongruous with the condition they were in. Then I want you to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, what Paul says. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You can beat an earthen vessel. You can beat an earthen vessel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And now notice his testimony. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I want to take that little portion of the story and this later testimony of Paul, and I want to put it from Paul's experience, I want to put together what he was saying. He said, we were beaten up, but we weren't beaten down. And I want to preach tonight on beaten up, but not beaten down. And I had to, you know, fight with my grammar a little bit here. The correct is beaten up. It's past participle for you English teachers. But I may slip into common vernacular and say, beat up, but not beat down. And everybody will understand what I'm saying, won't you? Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? I said, serving God, we may get beaten up, but we don't have to be beaten down. Glory to God. Well, that's the message. I'll preach it along, but that's the message. Amen. Let's pray tonight that God would help us. Lord, you want to help folks tonight. Lord, you want to minister in this service. You want to minister in hearts. Lord, you want to encourage and strengthen and empower, Lord, tonight. I pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come by and take this message and speak it directly to our hearts and let folks leave here differently than what they came. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Beaten up, but not beaten down. As you know, every Sunday morning, my wife and I, we stand at the back and shake hands with folks when they come in. And, you know, a lot can happen between Sundays, and sometimes folks will come in with bruises and cuts and abrasions. And, you know, I know that it's usually because of injury or a fall or something like that, you know. But you have to, you know, you have to say something, and you see folks with bruises like that, and you try to joke a little bit, and you know it wasn't that way, but you say, what happened? Did your wife let you have it? You know, coming in here all bruised, and maybe with bandages, and maybe with crutches. I mean, what happened to you? And I know it's through physical injury or physical sickness or all that kind of stuff, but I want you to know, though we kind of make a joke out of that to alleviate the moment, it's not a funny thing to be beat up. And it's not a funny thing when someone is abused and taken advantage of. Amen. But even though we're talking about, and I gave the illustration of those who come in physically that way, I'm convinced that even more so, that every service, there are folks who come into the house of God who have been beaten up on the inside. Beaten up in their hearts, beaten up in their minds, beaten up, if you want to use a modern word, in their psyche. They're just beaten up. I'm glad they came to church anyway. But I want you to know, you don't know the condition some folks come through those doors in. They've had a rough week. They've been involved in battle. There's been injury. There's been difficulty. And they come up. You may never see the bruise on the exterior, but they're beaten up on the inside. Paul and Silas were beaten. I read it to you in Acts chapter 16. But what an indignity. They tore their clothes from their body, and they beat them with many stripes, and cast them into prison, and put them in stocks, in chains, in bonds. Amen. What an awful thing. But again, I'm convinced that many experience coming into the house of God feeling like that on the inside. Maybe everybody I was to talk to didn't come tonight. Maybe they were beaten up so bad they didn't even make it. But I want to tell you, folks get beaten up. Did you know some folks get beaten up on the job? They put up with the filth. They put up with the difficulty co-workers give them. They put up with an ungodly boss. And by the time the work week's over, they're beaten up. Did you know young people get beaten up at school? Amen. None of ours, I'm sure, but young people can be some of the cruelest people ever. The things they say. And some of our young people endure things said about them and said to them. And you would never admit it. You try to laugh it off, but you've been beat up. Beat up at school. Some folks get beat up at home. If you have a largely godly home and environment to live in where you encourage one another and lift one another up, you are blessed tonight. But I want you to know, some folks are trying to serve God and they come into the house of God. They've been beat up. I'm talking about inwardly now and emotionally. They've been beat up at home and beat up by family members. Amen. Some folks are just beat up by life. I mean, there's some hard knocks in life. There's sicknesses and financial. You know, some people's finances have just beat you up. Amen. You're beat up. The hard knocks of life and trouble with the car and sickness. I want you to know something else. Some folks come beat up by Satan. You've been in a battle. I mean, he's come against you with everything. He's told you you're not saved. He's told you you're not worth anything. He's told you you're going to be a failure. You've listened to that all week. You've been beat up by Satan. Some folks get beat up by this world. Amen. It's just such a wicked thing. Amen. Just to be around it. Some folks are beat up by themselves. You're so hard on yourself. You're always beating yourself up, telling yourself you're a flop, you're a failure. You don't do anything right. You don't serve God the way you ought to serve God. You don't pray the way you ought to pray. Just beat yourself up. Beat up. Amen. Some folks let their past beat up. They're beaten up by their past. God's forgiven you, but you let your past keep slapping you down again. Amen. Bruising you. Some are beat up by their fears. They're beat up by their worries. They're beat up with concerns about the future. They're just beat up, just like Paul and Silas were. Outwardly, they're beat up. Inwardly. But I want you to know the message and from the example of Paul and Silas tonight is you can be beaten up, but you don't have to be beaten down. I mean, if you could have seen their bodies when they got through with them with their whip, well, you could have seen them in those chains in the dark. I mean, they were beat up. There's no mistaking. Oh, but I'm telling you, about midnight, you recognized that though they had been beaten up, they were had not been beaten down, and they began to sing songs of victory. I don't know how you get the story, but I don't think they were singing "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, Come and Take Us Home." I don't think they were singing that. I think they were singing, "How great is our God? How great is our God? You are great. You do miracles. So great." I think they were singing the songs like the choir was singing. "He is risen. He is victorious. Oh, hallelujah." I'm telling you, every way they were beaten up, but they were not beaten down. And so you come to church beaten up tonight. I am sorry, truly sorry, and I do not minimize that. But I want to tell you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the truth of the Word, you may have walked into this place beaten up, but you don't have to leave here beaten down. You can leave here with victory and faith and power in your soul. Glory to God. I'm telling you, there's only one end for the believer who trusts in Christ. That's victory. Aren't you glad God can minister to us the way He does? I try to give some thought to this. This isn't expositing the text of the story. This gets a little dangerous. It's surmising. But I begin to try to think what Paul and Silas were thinking in that jail cell to start singing the way they did. What were they talking about? What were they thinking about that in that condition at midnight they were singing songs of victory? Have you wondered that? I mean, what was going on between them? I know one thing. You say, "I'm in the cell alone. I've been beaten up and I'm all alone." But how many remembers what David did? He encouraged himself in the Lord. But what was it? No doubt Paul and Silas were able to converse with one another. Amen. What made them, though, beaten up, not beaten down? I mean, do you get the picture here? Their bodies are in chains, but their spirits are soaring. What was going on there? And so I begin to surmise, and let me give you just a few things tonight. I think, number one, they said, you know, this has more to do with the natural than it does with the supernatural. This has to do with the physical and the material. I mean, yes, we're hurting. Yes, we're in pain. Yes, we've been bloodied. But look at this thing spiritually. We preach the gospel. People have gotten saved. A young girl that was in the bondage of demonic powers and in the bondage of wicked men has been set free. A church has been founded. We're in prison. Our bodies are hurting. But spiritually, the gospel has come to Philippi. Revival has hit town, and things are happening spiritually. It makes a difference. If you look at this just from what's happening to you in a physical sense, and I'm speaking about our emotions in that sense. If you look at that alone, you're just going to stay beat up. But when you begin to realize there's a spiritual angle to this as well. I think another thing they said is there's more to this than right now. Right now we're beat up. Right now we're suffering. Right now we are bleeding. But there is an eternity as well. Amen. Did not Jesus say that, yes, there'll be those who will even kill the body, but they can't kill the soul? I believe they got to thinking about this. If we die from this beating, if they take us tomorrow and execute us, amen, right now isn't all there is. Amen. If they kill us, we'll just go on to heaven. Whatever they do to us, look what we have ahead of us. Amen. Amen. Right now isn't all there is to it. In the end, we win. I believe they got to talking about this. We'll go through hard times. We'll be shipwrecked. We'll be stoned. We'll be beat up. But in the end, we win. Hallelujah. I believe they begin to think, well, you know, there's more to this than meets the eye. I believe they really thought that way. Silas, we don't understand why we had to get beat up. Silas, we don't understand what's going on. But Silas, all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Silas, God's got a bigger picture than just us being beat up right now. God's got a bigger picture than our injury right now. I mean, something bigger's going on. Could you believe that even individually? You walked in here all beat up from the things you've been through. I want you to know, if you're a saint of God, if you're a child of God, something bigger's going on than just what you're experiencing right here. God's got a plan. Can you imagine, just imagine with me, can you imagine how many people in the last, Christians in the last 2,000 years have been excited by and encouraged by this story of Paul and Silas being beaten up, yet in that condition they begin to praise? How many Christians have been encouraged by that? I mean, Paul and Silas could not have dreamed of the folks throughout the centuries, the Christians that would be encouraged to go on, encouraged to press on by hearing and reading of this account that though beaten up, they were not beaten down, and they sang praises to God. And somebody sitting in a church pew in 2016 says, listen, that must be real, and what we have is real, and if Paul and Silas can do it, I can do. And I've been beat up, but I'm not beat down. I'll lift my hands in praise to my mighty Savior. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. There's more to this than meets the eye. There's more to this than just today. Today we're being beaten up. Tomorrow we'll hit the streets again, God willing. Tomorrow somebody else is going to get saved. Tomorrow there's another victory. Tomorrow there's another church to found. Tomorrow there's another girl to pray for until she's delivered. Tomorrow there's another Bible study to start with Lydia and others. Amen. Tomorrow, yes, I know today you've been beat up, but I want you to know, for the child of God, there's always a brighter tomorrow. The path of the justice is a shining light that shineth more and more till the perfect day. You've been beat up, not beat down, because for the child of God, he's got a great tomorrow. Amen. I don't know what they were thinking, but Silas might have said, you know, there's more to it than this one battle. By all appearances, Satan got the better of us this time. But it's not just this battle we're in. We're in a war. And he may think he's won this battle, but we're going to win the war. Oh, how many knows that? You may think he's won a battle. He may really beat you up, but you don't have to be beaten down. Read the book, sister. Amen. We win the war. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Anybody feel like praising him? Oh, I feel like praising him. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Amen. And I didn't know any other way to put it, but Paul might have said, no, Silas, amen, look around at the field. Did you see that big rat just run by? That'd be enough to take most people's sanctification right there. Amen. Your feet all tied up and chains, and a rat runs across them. Anybody ever had something like that happen? Amen. I was lying on a couch once, and I had a mouse run from my fingertips right up my arm. I jumped up and screamed like a woman. Amen. Did you see the size of that rat? I don't want to get gross here, but there's more than the big vermin. There's this kind of vermin in there. Dark and damp, chafing because of the bondages and the chains. Stocks would be uncomfortable, I am certain, and I am sure. But I believe Silas said, you know what? I saw that rat. I feel the dampness. I see the darkness. I feel things crawling on us. I'm uncomfortable, but I feel something else in this place. The presence of the Lord is here. Oh, isn't it that way with the believer? I mean, you've been beat up. You're in an uncomfortable situation, a painful situation, but just those things are not the only thing that's present. The Lord is here. His presence is here. I'm telling you, that's why when we get beat up, we're not beaten down, because at the worst time, at the sickest time, at the most difficult time, in the heat of the battle, thank God, the presence of the Lord. That they didn't just hype themselves up. Even they weren't just doing positive confession. I'm not in chains. I'm not in chains. I'm not in chains. It's not damn. No, it was more than that. Hallelujah. I believe the presence of the Lord filled the cell, and they begin to sing songs of victory. And the scripture said, and the prisoners heard them. That's saying more than they just heard the sound. It says that those prisoners were astonished, knowing the condition of Paul and Silas. It astonished every one of those pagan prisoners that they were over there singing like they were singing, and it was midnight. Hallelujah. Why? The presence of the Lord was there. There's not a valley so deep His presence can come to you. There's not a cell so dark His presence can come to you. There's not a situation so horrible His presence can come to you. And you realize, I've been beat up, but I'm not beat down. Oh, I said hallelujah. Somebody shout glory. Hallelujah. And as certainly as the shouts of the Israelites brought down the walls of Jericho, the singing of Paul and Silas opened up the prison door and shook the chains off. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes we need to try it. We'd be surprised at how many chains would fall off as we praise the Lord. Could I remind you of one more thing? Jesus. I said Jesus was unbelievably beaten up. He was beaten up by Roman soldiers. He was beaten up by bearing our sin. He was beaten up by demonic powers that converged on Calvary. He was beaten up by the weight that He carried. Beaten up by the cross itself. Beaten up so badly that they laid Him in a tomb. He was beaten up, but He was not beaten down, because 3 days later, He rose again, victorious. You know what He said when He rose? I mean, I'm imagining here. He said, you beat me up, but you couldn't beat me down. Hallelujah. And we are in Christ. Would you come, music? Hallelujah. I'm afraid you're going to be hearing about the Civil War for a while. I'm on this kick reading about that at night. One of the awfulest battles up to that time was in Antietam, Sharpsburg. Confederates backed up against the river. And though the Union forces were still saying we're greatly outnumbered, actually the Union just practically outnumbered the South 2-1. The South was, Confederates backed up to the river. The Union Army engaged the attack on them. And there were so many, one regiment after the regiment, that attacked the right of that line, which was led by Stonewall Jackson. The casualties were so horrible that around the church in the field, the bodies were so thick you couldn't walk on the ground. You'd have to walk across bodies. Fierce fighting was at the split rail fence, and there were just scores of men hung over the rails of that fence. There was a sunken road that perhaps the fierceness of the battle was, and the sunken road was filled with bodies. Attack after attack, Jackson's lines began to crumble and cave. He held, then the attack was on the left. It was fierce, over a bridge, fierce. By the end of the day, the Confederate army was completely decimated, and had the Union pressed the attack that day, it would have been over with. But as the evening came on, the Union, for unknown reasons, just kind of pulled back. That night, they began to take stock, and the chief generals met, Longstreet and Lee and Jackson. What are we going to do? They knew the shape of their army. Get this. The Union had more fresh troops, reinforcements, that had not even engaged in battle than the Confederates had in all of their army. In some places, like in Jackson's stand there, the casualties for the Confederates were 75%. That means if you had a regiment of 1,000 to start with, you're left with 250 men. The Confederate soldiers, they had no shoes. They hadn't eaten in days. Many of them were sick and weak. They had inferior weapons. They were out of supplies. And the talk was, how are we going to retreat? And Jackson, who had taken the stiffest of the attack, he and his men, he that had the greatest casualties, his men in the worst shape, he said, I know what we need to do. We need to attack. I'm telling you, there was a fellow that was beaten up and ever since, but he was not beaten down. I'm not glorifying Jackson, but I want to tell you, sometimes we feel like the shape he and his men were in after we've done battle. And the devil would like to whisper in your ear, there's no option but to retreat, no option but to surrender, no option but to be beat back and beat down. But I want to tell you, we have another option. We're beat up, but we're not beaten down. And we're going to go forward. We're going to go onward. I said, we're going to go forward. We're going to go on. Oh, aren't you glad we can be beaten up, but not beaten down? Would you stand tonight? Lift your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help this evening. Would you do it across the building? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's praise him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. I keep hearing what they sing about Christ. He is risen. He is risen. Beaten down. Beaten up, but not beaten down. He rose again. Victorious. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Amen. We have bruises on the outside. People may be a little nosy, but they really care. And they show concern and they show sympathy. And let me help you. They don't see the bruises on the inside. So many of those things you could never tell anybody, that you've been beaten up the way you've been beaten up. Oh, but God sees. I said, God sees. He knows how you're hurting. And he has one thing in mind. That's to help you, encourage you, strengthen you, empower you. Amen. I don't even know how to really give the altar call tonight. I feel in my heart. There's many here, or many who have listened or who may listen, but you feel just like that beat up. Amen. I don't know. I mean, you shouldn't be embarrassed, but if you're here tonight, in any way you feel beat up on the inside, spiritual battles, whatever kind of battles, you just say, I need God's help tonight. Would you come and begin to fill this altar and say, Lord, amen, with your help, I may be beaten up, but I refuse to be beaten down. Amen. Would you come tonight and find a place to pray and say, Lord, I desire your help tonight. Amen. Real bruises, real hurts. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we're going on to victory. There is a tomorrow. There is a tomorrow. Hallelujah. This isn't all there is to it. There's a bigger plan. There's a bigger picture. Hallelujah. The physical isn't the only thing that's going on here. There's something spiritual going on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you just seek him a while tonight and let him talk to you and let him help you and strengthen you. Hallelujah. Go, let's seek him tonight. Lord, I need your help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
So many dangers and toils of this life,
but not distressed.
I have.
Oh, seek him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord.
keeps on giving the grace and the strength.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
To just keep pressing on. He's given a promise, and I'm gonna stand on every word His holy word has said, and holding His hand, I'll never fear whatever lies ahead.
I can't see how you're beaten up on the inside, but God can.
Good intentions I've had.